Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing great, bro.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, this show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Hey, the light is on and Jesus is home.
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen.
I'm so glad you're not having a terrible day or anything like that, Tony. Praise God. But
I think that was influenced by typology, too.
That's right. It was. But, praise God, guys. We're going to be talking about something very important. And for you guys who've been keeping up on the live stream, I talked a little bit about Travis Key doing some prison ministry. I actually got an email today asking about how maybe they can get involved, somebody can get involved in prison ministry in their own town in Texas. Nathan, I got your email. I'm going to be writing you back today. But I really was excited because the night before, we were out until, I don't know, 3 a.m. or something, out sharing the gospel on the streets of Santa Monica, California, here on the Third Street Promenade. And it's a place where it's very special to me. It's kind of where I got to really share my faith, not really for the first time because I was already doing that with my friends, but just went out with Pastor Joe and a number of people from the church and went out for the first time for just the purpose of, hey, we're going to go share the gospel on the streets. And it was something, and for you guys, I just want to encourage you, if you want to microwave your faith, if you want to get into apologetics and really needing to meditate on scripture, I'm going to be honest with you, sharing the gospel is probably the quickest way to do that, because you're going to say, hey, I need to have answers for the hope that is within me, and therefore I need to go study the word, because that's ultimately what's going to give you the answers that you need to give to other people. And it's God's word that doesn't come back void. It's his word that's grafted, and guess what? Is able to save souls. So
Amen.
We want to make sure that that's what we're on. And so we want to talk about a tract that we have here at Blessed Hope Chapel, at Good Fight Ministries, that Pastor Joe wrote. And this is a tract that night that I'm speaking about. We took out a ton. We handed out probably a couple hundred of these tracts. And the tract is called Are You on the Road to Heaven? And we have them available. Tony will put a link on here.
Tony's got great artwork on the front of that, by the way, with this road leading to this like beautiful heavenly scene.
Yeah, amen. And it is a really cool track. And guys, we were just using it with a few younger guys, Nathan and Nico and Travis, myself and my wife. We were out sharing the gospel, and Nico was running up, handing these over to everyone and asking, hey, and they'd push him away at first. He'd be like, no, bro, are you on the road to heaven? And then he'd get in some really great conversations. I think we even got some pictures. Maybe I'll post that on the Facebook feed so you guys can see of him sharing the gospel with a couple of guys. It was really, really powerful. But so we were talking about it, and I said, hey, let's talk about, I was over at Joe's house. I said, let's talk about this. And Joe's like, hey, let's talk about this track and going through the Romans Road. And what does the Romans Road entail? Because we do go through that. And we're actually going to do two parts on this, guys, because it's really important, because we all believe that there's two specific parts of the gospel message that we give, that Joe gave when he wrote this, in the seven parts that he gives to the Roman Road that are just completely pushed aside and not preached when it comes to the gospel. So what we're going to do is go through the tract a little bit. And as we go through the track, maybe you'll pick up on which ones, or maybe you're thinking about right now which ones maybe people leave out. But we're going to go through a few of the points, five of the 7 points.
Yeah, we're not talking about what they leave out of the gospel, but what they leave out of the Romans Road that are very important to the application of the gospel.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. That's a good distinction and correction there. And what I want to do is just read out from the track, because one of the things that's good is with tracks, you want to catch people's attention, especially if it's a little longer and gives a little more explanatory. It's of the explanatory nature of the gospel, and it's not just, what do you do when you go to hell and you flip over and you got a good person test or something. It gets a little deeper, so it's good. You got to catch people's attention. So he tells a really funny, it's sad, and it shows you the heart of man,
aside,
with Christ away from him, not in his heart, completely not humble.
It is an intriguing story, though. Yeah.
But an intriguing story, and this is one of the quotes, said, just before Teddy Roosevelt charged up Kettle Hill in the Spanish-American War in 1898, Captain William Bucky O'Neill, one of the Roosevelt's famous Rough Riders, was casually standing, puffing a cigarette and telling jokes to the troops. Roosevelt recounted O'Neill's sudden and unexpected death. Quote, the most serious loss that I and the regiment could have suffered befell just before we charged. Bucky O'Neill was strolling up and down in front of his men, smoking his cigarette, for he was introvertibly addicted to the habit. As O'Neill moved to and fro, his men begged him to lie down, and one of the sergeants said, Captain, a bullet is sure to hit you. O'Neill took his cigarette out of his mouth and, blowing out a cloud of smoke, laughed and said, Sergeant, the Spanish bullet isn't made that there isn't a Spanish bullet made that will kill me. As he turned on his heel, a bullet struck him in the mouth and came out the back of his head. So that even before he fell, his wild and gallant soul had gone out into the darkness. Yikes. Yeah. And so this crazy is what story. Joe points out, is that the most important decision you will ever make is where you will spend eternity, heaven or hell. You never know when you're going to go. And ultimately, God is the one that holds your breath in his hand. And so a joke is a little bit of a message, but we want to get to is the steps that he gives through the Romans Road, starting at step one. Step one is we must acknowledge that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5, 12, therefore just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin. Even James 2 says, forever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point, is guilty of breaking all of it. Now, Joe, how, before, I didn't want to go into any commentary there, I'll let you speak a little bit. How do these verses start us off with the gospel, or with the Romans Road, actually?
Well, the whole reason I use a little illustration of this guy arrogantly just dying, you know, is because so many people that are out there today, they just, you know, they have that idea of eternal youth. They don't think they're going to die. You know, they don't realize it until they get older. They don't realize they can die any moment. So I use illustrations basically to show that our lives are like vapors, that they're transient, that we don't know we're going to die. And then before I get into these different seven so-called steps, you know, I give quite a few scriptures on basically, you know, heaven and hell and so forth, and there being two different roads and so forth. But the first step is basically nobody's going to call upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, unless they understand that they're a sinner. So, I mean, there's no reason to turn to Jesus if you don't know you're a sinner. So, and the Bible says that sin is transgression of the law. You know, I've written a number of tracts, but this is one of the most accessible. I mean, I've written a lot of, you know, some specified tracts like The Horrors of Heroin, the, you know, ecstasy, when an ecstasy.
Ecstasy turns to misery.
Yeah, and so forth. But this is used for different purposes, but this is also one of my favorite salvation tracts because, and the reason I wrote it is because oftentimes you get tracts and there's no mention of repentance. The person never has an idea that they need to actually turn to Jesus and follow him. They get the idea that they could just say a little prayer and go on with their life and don't have to repent of being a drunkard and committing adultery on their wife or what have you. And there's a lot of tracts out there where people, it seems as though they're trying to get people to just say a prayer, but not actually to place their surrender themselves and place their faith in Jesus, you know, and trust him with repentance and so forth. So that's a big concern. That's why, you know, I had a brother from actually a friend of mine, Ray Comfort, who's a great brother and friend of mine, but one of the brothers from his ministry, I don't think he's there right now, he had mentioned to me, he goes, Joe, I don't understand why you don't write more tracks. He goes, you know, he was just encouraging me, saying he would write really good tracks and so forth. I gave a lot of salvation messages, but I hadn't written anything in track form, and I thought about that for some time before I actually wrote my first track, and there was always, I mean, I can't tell you, we've brought so many tracks in the fellowship, and it's so hard to find good tracks. So I thought, you know what? I want to make one that's just crystal clear, because the last thing you want to do is give someone a track that, you know, has half the gospel in it, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, the main thing at first for the lost sinner is the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So I want, you know, you want people to be aware, not only that, you know, the first part of the track, as you pointed out by reading that story, Chad, it shows that, hey, you know what? You're going to die. So then I want them to know, hey, you know what? You're going to die as a sinner. And the scriptures that you quoted from the track, there's quite a few of them, emphasize the fact that, you know, we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. We're all doomed. So that's the first step, is you really can't come to Jesus unless you become aware of the reality that you're a sinner. And that's why we try to use the law. You know, we try to use the law of Moses. In fact, one of the beautiful things about Ray, if you ask me what it is about Ray Comfort's ministry that was so needed to by the body of Christ, or for the body of Christ, I would say the main thing that Ray has brought to the fore, and most people I think would say this who know his ministry, is I've been so grateful that Ray has highlighted the importance of letting people know that they're lawbreakers and that they're under God's wrath. They're under his judgment, and they need to repent and get right. Ray gives a great analogy in one of his books regarding, you know, and I'm going to say this quickly because I know we have a lot to cover here, so I'm going to butcher it a little bit, just give a concise version of it, is you have a guy in a airplane, and the airplane's about ready to go down, and then, you know, a stewardess comes up to him and says, hey, take this, this parachute, and it'll make you look good, you know, and you'll be happy you're wearing it. And the guy has no idea the plane's going down. He's just told to wear this thing, and she finally talks him into it. He puts it on. He's slunched over forward. People start smirking at him and making fun of him because they don't know the plane's going down either. And before you know it, he throws it off because he's embarrassed, like, why am I even wearing this? And Ray's point is that that's a person who doesn't know the plane's going down, and he's being taught a version of Jesus where he'll just help you have a better life. And what kind of commitment is there when that's the understanding you have of Jesus? But then another stewardess comes, or the captain says, this plane is going down in X amount of minutes or whatever, and you need a parachute right away. People are going to say, give me a parachute. So we need to let people know that they're going down, that they're sinners. So I think it's important to me in this track to emphasize that we're sinners. And it's the word of God that's sharper than a two-edged sword.
Amen.
Not my opinions, our feelings, what we say. It's powerful and active, so that's why I love to quote a lot of scripture in the tracks I write.
All right, we move on to step two. I hope that clarifies step three.
Oh, well, you know what?
Right?
Before we move on to step two, let me give you guys a few scriptures that show how important it is to use the law
That's a good point.
To get people to turn to Jesus. Dr. Walter Martin, and he was so awesome in so many ways. You know, he died some number of years ago, but he used to say, before you give them Jesus, you need to give them Moses, you know? In other words, you need to let them know that they're under God's law so they realize they need to be saved from their sin. And here's a few scriptures that highlight that emphasis in the New Testament as to the role of the law. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:9, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous. Brothers and sisters, we're not under the law of Moses, amen? But it's not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, and ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, it goes on to say, homosexuals and everything else. And in Romans 3:20, it says, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, now check this out, it says, rather, through the law we become conscious of our sin. So you don't know what sin is until you become aware that you've broken God's law. I used to always, when I was a little kid, man, I'd go down the street called Agnew Street. It went downhill. You'd go really fast, go right into First Street. And First Street was where a lot of traffic was and still is to this day in Simi Valley. And you had to make that turn. And if you were going too fast, it was hard to make that turn. You could be dead. So guess what? There was a household. The last name of the folks were called the Otts. They were Ottses. And we would cut across their yard. There was a nice worn trail that ran, you know, diagonal through their yard at that corner house. And I just saw the trail there. I figured they just let everybody do it. So I just cruised right over that little deal and thought I wasn't breaking any law. Until one day, me and my friend Takio were going to the store. And we were probably in fifth grade or something. I hung out with Takio, an elementary guy. And guess what? We went across there and we saw as we're going across, there was a sign up. Let's keep off our property, you know. And then guess what? They put nails through boards that were sticking up on the trail. You know, my friend Takio got all upset and he's ripping these boards up, you know, and why? How could they do this? You know, these two punk little kids, right? But then guess what? Now I knew every time I crossed that path, I was breaking a law. I felt different. I knew I did something wrong. Well, guess what God's law does? It makes us aware and conscientious of the fact that we're sinners. In fact, Paul says in Romans 7:7, he speaks about his own experience saying, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. In Romans 7:7-8, he says, I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. And Paul says this to the Galatians. Listen to this. Galatians 3:24. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. You catch that, brothers and sisters? You really want to lead people to Jesus? Use the law. Paul states that the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We're not saved by law keeping. We're saved by the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross. He paid for our sins, and through his glorious resurrection, whereby he conquered death, the grave, and the devil. We're saved through the gospel of Jesus, but it's the law that leads us to Jesus. So it's imperative that we use the law. In fact, you know what? I was just driving down the road last week, and I was coming out of a plaza area, and I saw this guy, and it's this African-American guy, big buff guy, just come out of the gym there, and he was walking with his skateboard, and I was pulling out to LA Avenue, and I realized, wow, this guy's not riding his board. Maybe it's because we're on a main street here. So I said, you know what? I should witness to him. So I pulled over and just thought I'd be nice to him and say, hey, you want to ride? You know, tell you, you know, you, looks like you could use a ride. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, I'm going home, but if you could drop me off at 7-Eleven, that would be great. So he hopped in. And I said, okay, I have a captive audience for about 45 seconds. I got like two of these lights, you know. So I just laid, the first thing I said to him when he got in, so are you saved? And, you know, some people think that's too radical. But for me, when I have only a little bit of time to witness, that's what I often use. Because then I get them asking me.
Yeah, that'll be the next track, right?
Yes, like on the, are you on the road to heaven, right? Yeah, are you saved? I go, and he goes, what do you mean? Are you saved? And you know, he kind of was like, you know, I love it though, because you have them asking you the question now. So a lot of times that's exactly what they'll say. What do you mean? Are you saved? And they've opened up the dialogue. And later on, I can let them know, well, you asked me what it meant to be saved. Yeah. I just asked you if you're saved. I haven't had to do that yet. But, and I just said, well, and I started to share with him. And he says, do you mean, he goes, you know, I'm a God-fearing man. You know, and I said, hey, I'm sharing Jesus with you, man. Make sure your sins are cleansed and so forth. He goes, hey, I couldn't get through this world without Jesus. You know, mm-hmm. Because that's how I get through this, all this confusion, you know. And you know, before you know it, I'm at the 7-Eleven parking lot, you know. And then I hit the lock button. I said, I'm not letting you out to make sure until you've repented. No, I didn't say that, guys. I'm messing with you. But no, right there, you know, I did. I said, okay, man, it's great to meet you. I think he said his name was Malcolm McAllister. You know, oh, that's a great name, you know. And he says he actually works down here on Easy Street as a welder, Easy and First Street. And I said, I go, oh, great, man. I go, hey, I whipped out a video. They sold their souls for rock and roll. I go, hey, you know what? Check this thing out, you know? Just watch this, a 3-hour version, you know, I gave him. He goes, yeah, I'll check it out. He was just big smile, really nice guy. So and I prayed for him after that. And Lord, please work in his heart and strengthen him. Didn't know exactly where he was at. He was letting me know he knew the Lord. But praise God, hopefully he did. But I'm just saying, use these opportunities. But when he said, I'm a God-fearing man, I realized, okay, this guy understands what it means. It sounds like to know he needs the Lord's grace.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, yeah, I have to bring it up. I know we're in the middle of talking about this, but we're talking about sharing the gospel. And this week has been an extremely blessed week. And guys, if you have stories like this, please tell us, because we had someone visit our church who works with one of the bigger Christian bands. And he said, hey, my brother's in this band. He's like, I'd love to meet with you guys. I'd love to talk with you guys. And we were able to set it up and able to meet with him. And he came and he said that...
Yeah, they're touring from out of state. Yeah, they don't live in the state, right?
Yeah, they don't live in the state. And he came up to us and he said, hey, I wanted to tell you, and he shared his testimony with us that he was, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all this stuff, and that he watched They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll, and then that was kind of was the starting point of him coming to Christ, you
praise
know.
Praise God.
And I thought, wow.
Similar that's, to your story.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. exactly right. And I'm like, that's awesome, bro. Praise the Lord. And that happens first day of the week on a Sunday. Then guess what? I'm going and teaching at the Rescue Mission, and I never had this happen. I've taught there for 4 years, and the guy asked, hey, do you mind if I lead some worship before your message? Would that be cool? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, just one song. He's a chaplain. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, no problem, man. And he's like, he leads a worship song. It was awesome. I was like, praise the Lord. And he's like, hey, you're Joe Schimmel's son-in-law, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you know, somebody gave me my mom gave me the Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age Revolution. And I was like, whoa. The
first version.
I was like, that's the old school one, bro.
VHS.
Yeah. that's what he said. I'm like, that's the old school one, bro. And he didn't look that old either, you know. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, actually, that was kind of what brought me to the Lord. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. I was like, that's so cool because I came to the Lord through They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll. He's like, well, after I watched that, that's when I knew I needed to be in ministry. And now he is literally a chaplain. I mean, how many years ago he watched that? Now he's a chaplain here working with people to get them off drugs and know Christ.
I think you said the first one God used to save him.
Yes. Yeah,
and like, then he watched the other newer version, right?
Yeah, They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll.
Oh, okay. Then They Sold Their Souls. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So, and I was like, wow, man, that's so cool. And
that's
I'm like, so you see that it's not just salvation, but then edification and then bringing him into ministry and putting that on his heart too. So know that God can use it in a ton of ways. And then we received this today. I was looking through emails and messages and someone said, cool, I'm glad that when I became born again, it was just after watching They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll. Naively, I thought all professing Christians were the same, but I noticed televangelists were not preaching the gospel like you did, Pastor Joe, and rightly stayed away from them and followed Good Fight Ministries and Blessed Hope Chapel. Since then, I learned about all the other weird doctrines as Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Calvinists, etc. I had actually been approached by these guys when I was still worldly and not ready to accept Jesus. I thank God he helped me dodge those bullets. Doctrine is so important. Thanks, Chad, Joe, and Tony. So, guys,
praise the Lord, man.
You guys have these accessible. Please, guys, go to goodfight.org. Check it out. We have it. We're not just saying it. There's multiple people that have come to the Lord. Testimonies we hear all the time. Tony just heard one as well.
Yeah, the ministry. There's a popular ministry that travels around the United States and doing music and testimony. And we were privileged to have them come through Simi Valley through our church.
A lot of solid teaching too. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, just awesome. And I gave them some DVDs. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and some of the others. But they watched the music one because they do music. And I got an email just the other day saying, "Hey, I finally watched this DVD, and I was so convicted. I got rid of a bunch of music on my cell phone and I almost became Amish because I was so convicted." The pendulum swung the whole other way. But then he sat down with his whole ministry and ministry team and watched the 3-hour version the other night, and they're all on fire. And it's sanctification too. It's not just for a witnessing tool for non-believers, but for believers as
Amen.
Well.
Amen.
It helps in the sanctification process.
Absolutely. We design it when I've given those talks through the years and with They Sold Their Souls, I always had two goals in mind. One was to win the lost, so I give a strong salvation message, but it's iconoclastic. You're basically tearing the idols down, the most popular idols in this age, you know, the American idols, the musicians and everything. And then you're lifting up the name of Jesus, and we're trying to, you know, give the gospel and lead people to Christ. And a number of people in our fellowship came to Christ through it, that we praise God for that. But also the other thing, I'm speaking at, you know, through the years, I've done it at a lot of churches, and we want sanctification. We know the Lord wants a lot of professing Christians are, you know, knee deep and all the way plunged in oftentimes in the most wicked music. And it's like that grieves the heart of God, you know.
Amen.
And he calls us to be separate and come out from among them, says the Lord, you know. What fellowship is laid out with darkness and so forth. So it's an important. And we have these resources. Guys, we've seen a lot of fruit, not only through these tracks, we have other videos and so forth. So make sure you use our resources because they're real. I mean, we're all on the front lines. We have our lives are vapors too as saved people. And we, you know, the time is short and we want to reach as many people as we can. So make sure you try to use resources out there that can help get the gospel in people's hands.
Yeah. And also don't forget, this podcast is a resource. Sharing it, guys, our
Amen.
Live stream,
yeah.
It's a resource. Share it. I mean,
absolutely.
I know that we have a group of people. I know, especially over there in Long Island, our group over there that share every single podcast show. I mean, every time before I can even get up to share it, because they're doing it at like, you know, 3 a.m.
Awesome.
Our time. But, you know, I see it up there and I'm like, I'm so encouraged by that. It's such a blessing. But back to the track, bro, because we get back,
back
on
to the
track.
Romans Road revisited.
Back to the Romans Road. All right. Step 2 says we need to be aware that our sin separates us from God in a state of eternal death and separation from God. You quote Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." If you have a job, wages are what you earn, and we are paid our owed wages at the end of the week or on our given payday. Death is what we earn because of the evil of our sins. Because God is a good judge, he must punish evil. The just and righteous penalty for sin is death, and this is why we all die.
Amen. And that's basically, you know, you're talking about, you know, first of all, letting people know we're sinners and that we're guilty before God. And then the next thing is to let them know, hey, we're not just sinners, but the scriptures are very clear that as a result of our sin, the consequences, severe consequence, it's death, right? The Lord says, your sins have separated yourselves from me, you know? And here you quoted one of the scriptures I give there. And I give the illustration. I like to use illustrations, you know, because tracts are for people that don't have a whole lot of often knowledge of truth. So sometimes illustrations are good to, you know, that's why I start off with an illustration too, with Roosevelt and so forth, is to get them interested. And I was really cool. I used an older illustration to open this up with Roosevelt and stuff, and I was blown away how many young people love the track, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just a short little one. But we need to understand, we need to let them know, because if you don't let them know, if you just say, hey, you're a sinner, how serious is sin, you know? You let them know that it's the death penalty. You're separated from God. He doesn't live in you. Spiritually, you're dead, and you're physically dying and dead too because of sin. So it doesn't just require a Band-Aid. It requires something radical. Something radical needs to happen, and that leads us to the subsequent steps.
Yep, and now step three. We must recognize God's provision for our sin problem in sending his son to pay our sin debt on the cross so that we could be saved. Romans 5, 6 through 8, you see, at just the right time, when we were all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 6:23, once again, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You also point out that God is love, 1 John 4:8 and 16, as well as God has made a provision for all people. 2 Peter 3:9 says that concerning his second coming, right, and us being brought back with him, that he's not slow, as some count slowness, but he's patient, not willing that any would perish, but that all, and yes, it means all, would come to repentance.
Absolutely. We have 1 Timothy 2:4 there as well, which says that he wills that all would be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. And that section, basically, we get into Jesus there. You know, you need Jesus. You need the provision that God has made for humanity whereby they can be saved, because he doesn't will that they would perish. Amen. So that's where now they're at a point where, okay, wait, I'm a sinner. Okay, I understand. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit will convict them. This is a track with God's word, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will speak to them about their need for the Savior. They realize I'm a sinner. They realize, wow, I'm dead. I'm separated from God. I'm headed toward hell. And then all of a sudden they realize, wow, there's this beautiful provision that's made. And Romans 5, 6 through 8 is one of my favorite passages that you read, Chad, there. I just love hearing it, and how, you know, how much love God has had for us, and we emphasize the love of God there. And I think it's important, and sometimes when I'm witnessing to people, I'll use the illustration of your payday is what you earn with, you know, regarding money, work. But you know what? The wages of sin is death. But guess what? There's also the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes I'll use the illustration of, let's say, for instance, that you were dying of AIDS, you know, in a hospital, and somebody came in and they laid next to you, and they put their hand on you and took your AIDS from you. And, you know, the HIV and the whatever diseases you have as a result of, you know, not having your immune system at work. And they just took all your sicknesses upon themselves and died in your place, you know. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, guess what? Jesus did that. Jesus took all of your sin upon himself. Yet you have to, because no one's saved until they come to faith, you know. You have to put your faith in Jesus. So emphasizing the provision that God has made in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on the cross where he said, Tetelestai, paid in full. He paid the full price of our salvation. We simply need to, in a true contrite heart, come to him and put our trust in him with repentant
faith.
That's
step five, right?
Well, we won't give too much away.
We're not going to give too much away.
We'll go through 4 through 7 next time.
4 through 7 next time. Yeah, guys, it's really important.
And that includes two of the steps that are being left out, and that's why we're revisiting the Romans Road.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.